This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired Israeli Brigadier General Elihu Ben-Oon, who is now a radio talk show host based in Jerusalem. We want to get his thoughts and his insights on how Israel's reacting to the crisis going on in Egypt just to the south of Israel. What could possibly come out of this chaos? Are the peace accords from the 1970s threatened? And what is the proper U.S. role here? And General, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Obviously, it's been a very dicey history for Israel over the last 60-plus years, but over the past 30-plus years, one of the most stable relationships in the region certainly has been with Egypt since the Camp David Accords. As you look at the unrest happening right now and the threat to the Mubarak government, what's the general mood in Israel among government officials and the population?
Well, I must tell you that we are very concerned for what's happening now, right now in Cairo, in Egypt. After all, Egypt is the largest Arab country on earth, and Cairo is the capital of Egypt, and we have peace with Egypt officially since 1979. That means 1 month from now it's going to be 32 years for that peace treaty, and actually since the end of the Yom Kippur War in 1973, non-Israeli or Egyptian soldier died on the border between the two countries by direct command of one of the governments. So Egypt is our ally. Egypt is a friend. Egypt is a country that we have peace. And, of course, we are very concerned what will be the future with Egypt.
As you look at the possible rise of someone like Mohammed al-Baradei and certainly the Muslim Brotherhood, what changes would that bring pretty quickly to your relationship with Egypt if either or both of those were to come to power?
Well, I still believe that President Mubarak or one of his successors will be able to find a compromise and try to do it gradually between the protesters and the government to find a solution. Because revolution is nice for the television, for the camera, for Al Jazeera, but the day after tomorrow you have to wake up in the morning and you have to give food to the people and fuel and to look for the future of the country. So Egypt is not just a small country in Africa. Egypt is a leader of the Arab world. Egypt is a leader of Africa. And, of course, other Arab countries are watching Egypt. So Mohammed al-Baradei is a name that the media is giving against again and again. But I'm not sure that he's got any people who will support him. And, of course, those extreme Muslims who are waiting behind the corner, if they will, God forbid, be in power, we might repeat the mistake of Jimmy Carter in 1979 in Iran, when he brought, actually, Khomeini came back to Tehran, and we know what was the result. So we would like to believe that Egypt will not repeat the mistake that happened in Iran 30 years ago.
So the consensus in Israel, then, is that the best scenario for Israel is for Mubarak to stay in power, at least for the time being.
Yeah, Mubarak is 82, 83 years old. Like any person at life, one day he will go. This is clear, you will not live forever. But we speak about the policy that Egypt and Israel are friends. We have peace treaty, and as I said, a very stabilized peace. No casualties, no war at all. As we said in 1974, no more war, no more bloodshed. I myself participated in the Yom Kippur War in 1973 when I had to cross with my tank the Suez Canal and go all the way 100 kilometers from Cairo. So I remember what was it. Thank goodness we don't have any wars with Egypt. And if not Mubarak and one of his parties, somebody else, but absolutely not somebody who will lead Egypt to a place that nobody would like to go to.
We're talking with retired Israeli Brigadier General Elihu Ben-Oon. And General, if you look just around the region, obviously there's chaos in Egypt. There's been chaos for a while in Lebanon, and now protests are reportedly in Jordan as well. So you're seeing this on three different sides. What preparations, if any, are you seeing from the Netanyahu government? What steps are they taking, or are they basically in a wait-and-see mode right now?
Well, as you mentioned before, we have Lebanon problem with the Hezbollah and Iran. We had a problem with Tunisia. We had a problem with Sudan, which decided to split to two Sudans, North Sudan and South Sudan. Now we have Egypt on the projector, and of course Jordan, maybe, God forbid, will be the next one. That shows us we live in the Middle East, which is not a very friendly neighborhood. And I must tell you that I'm a little bit surprised what we heard from the White House. You haven't asked me about it, but I should mention it very loudly.
Absolutely. I was going to, so please go ahead.
Yeah, so what President Obama and Mrs. Clinton said, it's something that will be, I don't know, maybe in the future every student in International Relations Department or Political Science will study those statements. What's happening if America giving Egypt for the last 30 years, every year $2.1 billion for military aid, and we see in the streets of Cairo tanks Patton made in America, or Abrams, or F-15 over Cairo, and the government of America saying, well, Mr. Mubarak, goodbye, you have to go. This is awful. I don't know. I can't find any other word. They should support the policy of peace and stability. Keep saying democratization and democracy. It's a very nice slogan for America, but it's not always nice for other parts of the world.
Explain that a little bit more, because you have a lot of people, especially in America, who say, well, what's good for the political process in America and having more people have a voice should be good elsewhere. Explain why you believe it's a very different story in Egypt.
Well, look at Iraq. We want to bring democratization and democracy and human rights, and they keep killing each other, thousands of thousands, I don't know, many millions. And look at other places. There are some countries who do not understand the meaning of democracy as we, the people in the West, are sharing. Mainly human rights and mostly women rights. You know, in those countries, for example, Egypt, they have circumcision for females. You can't even understand it. People who have four wives. Can you understand that? They don't want the woman to go out from the kitchen and to be part of the family equal. So if you don't have women rights, how can you speak about democracy and human rights? If you everything judged by the status of the woman and the family, and then you can understand how free they can be. Unfortunately, the Middle East, of course, except Israel, which is the only democracy in this area, they don't share the values of the West about human rights.
Very interesting. General, we'll certainly be following this. I know you will be very closely, and there's a good chance we'll be talking again about whatever ends up happening here in the coming days, weeks, and months. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you, and let's hope that stability will come back to that area. I'm very happy that Israel is not involved, but who knows what will be in the future if those extremists maybe will be in power. Unfortunately, we have to be very concerned.
It is a major concern for a lot of people. Retired Israeli Brigadier General Elihu Ben-Oh, now a radio talk show host, joining us from Jerusalem. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.